The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
Now, we want to talk about a very interesting case that is before the High Court. Mm-hmm. And this is to do with the relatively recent innovation of average speed cameras. We've seen it in the Port Tunnel and now we have it along our motorway network.
Yeah, well, we have it on the M7 between Nenagh and Bird Hill. There was an average speed set up installed there in 2022. It's a 9 kilometre stretch, and if you exceed the motorway speed limit between camera A and camera B, you'll be issued with a fine. Now, there's a challenge being heard by the High Court tomorrow, and this comes from a lady a short while ago who was detected at 131 kph average. And the nature of the challenge is the notice she received did not include the word average in it.
Now, she fessed up. I mean, she said she had been speeding and she mentioned in passing to the judge, by the way, it didn't say average on my notice. And the judge recommended that she seek legal advice.
The judge told her to go off and get legal advice. So now here we are in the High Court tomorrow. There's over 2,000 cases that are going to hang or fall on the decision of the High Court tomorrow. And the High Court has to decide whether leaving out the word average on the notice issued to the motorist in effect invalidates the prosecution. So you throw your hands up and go, look, another of these bloody legal challenges. Some are silly, some are spurious, some are foreseeable because the law does have to be drafted correctly. But ultimately, when these things happen, you get a frustration of natural justice where the, you know, a trivial technicality essentially frustrates what was the wish of the Oireachtas when the laws were passed.
Now, I'm interested in this case from simply an arithmetic or mathematical point of view. I mean, if she was convicted of 131 kilometres an hour and 120, that means that she may have been doing far more than that at some points.
Yeah, absolutely.
And may have been down below the 120 at other points. So what they're saying is you're guilty of 131, but that cannot be a precise. It's got to be an average.
But nevertheless, it's a mathematical certainty that the legal
speed
limit was exceeded. And there seems to be no dispute as to the facts of the case. So this is really about the paperwork. It's an argument about the paperwork. And again, it could be the law frustrating justice, in which case the government will have to swing in and patch it. You'll recall we were talking only a month ago about another discrepancy in the law, which gave a judge a discretionary sentencing option, which meant he could give you a 24-hour driving ban and get you out of the 6 months month ban that the law intended to give you. That had to be patched by emergency legislation. But, you know, we've had some really ridiculous ones over the years, Pat. There was a challenge. Well, there have been a sequence of them. The Road Traffic Act itself is actually 25 different pieces of legislation because it gets updated every few years. There are 400 separate regulations and statutory instruments that flow from it. And that's the lawyer's playground. They play all over those things, looking for the cracks, looking for the loopholes, looking for the discrepancies. So we've had challenges previously because a notice wasn't issued in Irish as well as English, despite the fact that the recipient was an Eastern European.
Who had no clue at all.
Indeed. But so again, seems a really ridiculous thing. There was an interesting one, the evidential breath test in a Garda station. So if you fail a breath test at the side of the road, you go back to the Garda station to do the evidential breath test there. And the dispute was because you wait for 20 minutes to ensure that it won't be contaminated by mouth alcohol, the argument was that that 20 minutes is an unconstitutional illegal detention by the Gardaí. So that was a challenge that was taken, and ultimately that failed. There have been challenges to the calibration of Garda radar equipment or speed cameras. There was a challenge a few years ago saying that the Gatso vans couldn't work for prosecutions unless the camera operator was a fully sworn Garda. That challenge, you know, ultimately failed as well. But it's continuously being challenged, and here's another one.
Here's the issue here. I don't know what's going to happen to this particular woman because the judge who convicted her originally vacated that conviction and told her go see a lawyer. She really might have been better off leaving well enough alone, because if you've got an average of 131 over a 9 kilometre stretch, it could be inferred by the learned judges that she was doing far, far more than that at various stages.
Yeah, well,
therefore, the penalty might have been more severe.
Conceivably, and it is at the judge's discretion to up the ante if you don't pay your penalty points and you choose to have your day in court. Your penalty points are doubled and more severe sanctions are open to the judge. But what I think it's interesting here is that, no disrespect to the lady at the centre of the case, I think she just happens to be the person through whom a wrinkle in the law has been identified. So a couple of things will have to happen. It may be the case that we lose 2,000 convictions, which is a frustration to natural justice and against road safety policy and a pain, frankly. But this might have been a foreseeable one because, you know, if the conviction is for exceeding the average speed, say so on the notification. And when it comes to drafting regulations and the statutory instruments that have to be done technically, I mean, that should be stock in trade for the Department of Justice.
Well, I wonder why this hasn't come up with the Poor Tunnel, which has had this system longer.
Since 2017,
I mean, all of us who've used the Poor Tunnel, you look down, you realise you're over 80 kilometres per hour, so you slow down to get your average down so that you won't be prosecuted on foot of it.
Yeah, it's actually a very good use of the average speed camera, and there are plans for nine more. So we may be seeing more and more of them. Now, you may like average speed cameras, you may dislike them. I think they're a reasonably good tool myself, depending on where you put them. Incidentally, I think a motorway is a white spot for road safety rather than a black spot. They might be more useful somewhere else. But that's by the by. If you're going to use them at all, you know, in Ireland of all places, you've got to draft the technical aspects of the law and the regulation correctly. Some of these spurious challenges that drive us mad get thrown out of court because they're rubbish, but some are correct and are foreseeable and should have been got right at the drafting stage, and that might be the case here.
Does the average speed calculation take into account that a driver has to accelerate considerably when trying to safely overtake another car?
It's a 9 kilometre stretch. So if you have an emergency overtaking manoeuvre, there is no way in practical...
You can compensate by slowing down. Then.
Exactly. Unless your emergency compensatory manoeuvre lasted for 9 kilometres, in which case you got some more explaining to do.
Can you ask Conor how it is that, for all we hear about road safety, it is not mandatory to wear a helmet on a bike or an e-scooter? We have to be one of the only countries in Europe where this ridiculous situation exists. Or why Gardaí don't fine them for cycling on the road beside a cycle path? We also need to ban the weekend Peloton, whereby we have all the cyclists out in their Lycra, cycling 2, 3 and sometimes 4 abreast on a road, making it impossible or dangerous to overtake. It's laughable to suggest that we're serious about road safety while we legally allow all of the above. That's from Darren.
Well, he's got a lot of things to ban, hasn't he? Mostly bicycles. On the helmet one, we're not the only country. We're actually in the majority. Most countries do not require cyclists to wear helmets. Why, you might ask? And the answer to that is whenever you bring in such a rule, it has a huge effect on the numbers of people who cycle. So that's why from a policy point of view, it's not a great idea. Still good advice to wear a helmet, but a compulsory helmet counterintuitively does not do as much good as you think it does.
Now, on to motor theft.
Ah.
And it seems there might be a discrepancy in the stats.
Well, there's underreporting, appears to be the case. And why would it be the case that the theft of a motor car or theft from a car would be underreported? The most obvious reason is for insurance purposes. So if you have, say, windscreen shattered and a laptop taken out of the backseat of the car, very commonly that just won't be reported to the insurance company. So you'll see a discrepancy there. There are also cases where, there might be family involved. So say, for example, a car has been stolen, turned out it was the teenage son or something of that sort. So in the mix, it turns out there's a significant amount of underreporting in the data. So I think that's kind of interesting to note, but probably there are causes
for it. But car theft, it's not kind of breaking into a car parked in a parking bay somewhere. It's going to people's houses, breaking into the houses, stealing the keys and driving away the car without any damage to the car.
Well, that's the most effective way to do it for what you might term the serious or organised car thief. And there were examples of, and I'm going back a number of years now, and I won't name the brand of car, but it was a particular luxury brand of car that was in very high demand, right-hand drive because it's Irish, of course, and they were being stolen to order and literally broken down into a flat pack, loaded on a crate, shipped to Africa, reconstructed there, and sold on again. So that is, you know, serious organised car theft rings. More commonly, it's kind of opportunistic. As I say, why would that be underreported? Well, there are various reasons. It never gets overreported. So you'd expect an underreporting bias. And there's various reasons for that. Often it's insurance.
And the final topic is really about those traffic changes in Dublin City, where there will be no left turn from Westland Row into Pier Street, which many people use to get from south to north of the city. And I don't know how they're going to get there with this change. If you have to go. I mean, everyone says, oh, you should be on your bike. Not if you're carrying power tools because you're a tradesman.
I know. And look, it's a real dilemma for Dublin City. And there are some cohorts in Dublin City who wonder if the local authority is even on their side. If you're trying to run a business in the centre of Dublin, it's deeply frustrating. I came in on a bicycle today. Took me half an hour. Terrific. Mm. That's the best way for me to
But you're not carrying power tools on your back.
And if I were, it would have been an hour minimum. And you get into the centre of Dublin and you say, why the hell was there a traffic delay getting in here? The streets are deserted. It feels really quiet. It feels so quiet, you wonder, is it Sunday? Have I got something wrong? Mm. And yes, it took you an hour in a traffic queue to get in. So what is Dublin City Council trying to achieve? What is victory? An economic desert in the centre of the city with no cars in it? What is it?
People on bicycles going into coffee bars. That's what's going to be left.
Well, I might do it myself. And isn't it a lovely sunny morning for Stephen's Green? But my colleagues in the RIAC on Dawson Street, for example, have a large building there that they want to make good use of. It's very frustrating trying to do that. Restaurants trying to do business in the city centre. There has to be a reasonable balance. And if your definition of victory is cars out, well, that might be your victory, but it's not really the city's victory. There has to be more to us than that.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.